Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
I'm not gonna fry no more.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And I first want to start off by thanking all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all the ones globally. We're broadcasting over 27 countries right now, so I must be doing this thing. But anyway, you know, this show is going to be hot because I have my friend Chad Meek up here. This young man, and I'm going to say young man because, you know, life is in a blinking of an eye. This man has showed proof that UFOs are real, you know, and I've always believed that anyway, and I'm going to tell you why as we get started in the show. But before I do that, I just want to give a shout-out to some special people. And the shout-out I give out to is Maxine, Sharon, Marilyn, and Miss Susan, and also from the Summerdale Church of Christ, Myra, Dara, Judy, Hazel, Robert and his family, Joseph and his family, Ken, the preacher and his family, and the rest of y'all. I'm still kind of learning y'all names, but, you know, shout-outs to you, baby. If you want to be on the show, just hook up with a sister. We're going to make this happen. But anyway, I first got to introduce my sexy co-hosts, Chris and Mark. How y'all doing?
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, Mark. Hi, Chris. So, I'm going to let Chris start first, and he's going to ask his question, because I have a lot of questions of Chad. So, Chris, ask your first question about special guest, who is phenomenal.
All right, Chad, my name is Chris Michael Ward. My first question is, when did you first get interested in discussing UFOs?
Oh my gosh! Wow, that's an old question. That's an old question, Chris. No, it's a good one though. Actually, I didn't. It wasn't my interest. They were interested in me. I actually had an extraordinary event happen when I was just a little bitty boy, and I was actually picked up by some extraterrestrials out near my grandmother's house, out near a place called Giant Rock. And for those people out there that never heard about Giant Rock, it is a unique place out in the middle of the desert. And my whole family essentially were out there, and we're out there since 1947. And my uncle was the unabashed leader of this whole UFO contactee movement. So as far as my interest goes, I think I was more or less inducted. It was like I was conscripted, just like somebody in the military taking off the streets and say, "Hey, listen, boy, you're gonna learn something about this stuff, and you may, whether you like it or not."
I know that's right. And you know, you said one thing, Chad, is honest. You know, most UFOs are sighted in places that's off the grid, in the desert, underwater, or whatever. You know. So, Mark, go ahead and ask your question, baby.
Yeah, the late, great astronomer Carl Sagan had something he called the baloney detection kit. Are you familiar with it, Chad?
Oh, yeah, I know Carl.
I'm not saying anything that you're going to say tonight is baloney, but How do you shut down the skeptics that automatically dismiss you as a crackpot?
Well, I don't. First of all, I rarely suffer fools. I mean the math is completely there. I mean, from the Drake equation, as far as which actually he was an eminent scientist, it actually proved mathematically that we are not alone in this universe and these other universe. And so, bottom line is, there's been so much evidence that have popped up. Now, in fact, another guy, Neil deGrasse, you ever hear of him? We listen to these people, and we listen to their nonsensical arguments, and you can't disprove, what they're saying, but it's their opinion. And that's the biggest problem that I have with a lot of these so-called experts. Is it's just merely their opinion, and you know what? You know what they say? We all got one, just like another part of our anatomies.
Oh yeah, there's a top and a bottom. But you know, look, For y'all listeners out there, if y'all want to jump in on this live show, all you got to do is call 347-945-6003 and hit the one key. That will let me know you have a question. But if you don't have a question, we're going to keep this boat rocking. So my question for you, Chad, once you was abducted, was this before your uncle was? Because I want you to tell them about the story about your uncle and, you know, to give them some reality on the proof. Because a lot of people don't believe that UFOs are out there. But for people like myself, the Christians, you can't be a Christian without not believing in UFOs. And the reason I say this is because UFO is unidentified flying objects and extraterrestrial. So how can you be a higher intelligent level like Jehovah God, like Jesus Christ, because you're more intelligent and got supernatural powers that we don't possess? So that right there is my proof. It's just that in Christianity, we give a name to these extraterrestrials. We call them by name. You know, some people call them grays. Some people call them this and that. I call Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I call his Father Jehovah. But anything more intelligent than us mere mortals, There's your proof right there, E.T. So y'all need to understand that ain't nobody out there in the universe is going to think that Earth is the only intelligence. And all this time it took from us to come out from being in a cave, hitting rocks, to, you know, space age and all this other kind of thing. So for me, you know, I've always believed, but people always thought I was crazy. But, you know, that's how I break it down.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, with either or, you know, if you want to talk science with me, you know, as far as that goes, I mean, there's adequate proof, there's mathematical proof, there's all kinds of equations that are going on as far as that. So there's now also too, we've actually had physical proof, and you know, and now if you go on YouTube, you can see the Nimitz, you know, the sailors who basically were tracking all those extraterrestrials and UFOs out in the middle of the ocean. I mean, the list goes on and on and on as far as very, very credible people who actually had done that. But biblically, when you consider the whole biblical evidence, well, you know, I like to talk with Christians, especially when we talk about the Bible, we talk about the Old Testament. I bring up, hey, what about the Watchers? You know, who are the Watchers? Okay, who came down and mated with the daughters of man? Okay, I asked, and what about Ezekiel's wheel, you know, that came out of the sky? So, I mean, there's so much evidence. Now,
there's a
here,
door, that's
is,
right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, yeah, Enoch, and so I keep asking questions as far as, and then people say, oh, well, but one thing I keep on wanting to you know, always talk about, I say, okay, you know, people in the Christian faith, and actually in the Muslim faith, and all religions, they have a thing called angels, okay? Well, let me tell you something. What's the difference between a UFO or an extraterrestrial and an angel? I don't understand how you can separate the two. I mean, you know, they're literally, I mean, you know, there are angels. And so I would propose that, hey, wait a minute. Well, maybe some of these really good acting angels like Gabriel, you know, all these, maybe they are, in fact, extraterrestrial. And obviously, just by definition, they are. So, you know, come down to me. Okay, first of all, me and Terry, okay, we're walking down the street, and we have this entity come down. Okay, so we're going to say, okay, what's your name? Okay, and how would we describe it in modern day terms? Well, we'd say, well, it's something not from here. Anyway, so I get a big kick out of that. As far as in Jesus, I don't know. My gosh, I mean, I can only, speculate. And this is my own speculation. He must, because he was so different than the rest of us, and came down and miracles that he was able to do. I mean, how can you walk on water? I mean, I don't know about you guys. I don't know about Chris and Mark and you, Terry, but can you walk on water?
No, I can't.
She couldn't walk on land this morning, right, Terry?
Yeah, how about that? Sometimes walking on land is hard, okay?
Yeah.
Mark, go and ask your question, darling.
Yeah, Chad, I'm reading a little bit here about Giant Rock. Is that the seven-story huge rock in Mojave Desert? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Oh. Yes, sir. I used to play inside that big old thing, and literally I used to play the piano down. There's actually a piano inside of this rock, and it was an extraordinarily mystical place. But going around the whole movement down there, which actually the interesting thing about Giant Rock and my uncle is that this was at the crossroads of all ufology. I mean, before actually came out just about the same time as Roswell and all this activity that was happening. It got to the point where every year there would be a space convention out there, an open-air space convention, and there would be literally tens of thousands of people that would migrate there. Now, if you can visualize this, and this is what actually kind of goes in the whole movie plot and in my book, if you imagine a little kid basically not seeing 50 people for all year long, and then all of a sudden seeing over 10,000 people out there. I mean, and seeing the dust cloud come on. That was like a miracle in its own self. And the whole feeling and the whole energy that was out there was absolutely – it was like everyone had met each other's lost souls. And it primarily consisted of people who had actually had their own experiences with extraterrestrials or sightings or had some very strong connection, and all these people banded together because at that time, now you imagine, I think right now 65% of the whole world's population believe in extraterrestrials and UFOs and all this stuff. Okay. So so we have a masses now, but imagine back then, if you had any belief witnessed a UFO or came in contact, you would be not only laughed at or drummed out. If you were if you're a military pilot, you'd be grounded. If you're a corporate pilot, for the airlines, automatically you were absolutely ostracized as some sort of nutcase. Well, a lot of these people who had no one to talk to would come out there and they would share experiences. So it was really, the energy was really different. It's kind of seeing long lost, brothers and sisters. So yeah.
Wow. So, Chris, I know you have your question.
My question for Chad is, Chad, I was listening to an old podcast you did from a few years ago, and you was talking about how you was working on a sequel to your book. Has that been completed?
It's not. I'm halfway through it. And I tell you, I'm halfway through it, and I just got to get after it. It's just something, I've been so involved. First of all, the book is a labor of love. In fact, the original Giant Rock, labor of love, and essentially the original book was part of the screenplay and the sequel. Okay, that I put together and I condensed it in one book. That's what that is, and it was a labor of love to do that. The original screenplay was a labor of love, and so I've been just trying to catch up because I keep looking at this as far as in comparison to stories out there, and this is so visual, that it really, to really get this thing here, you'll read it and you'll marvel at the book, but you'll have to see it and actually see it through actors and through the whole emotional human content, and so I've just been doing everything I could to basically get this thing green lighted into a movie. I've come close several times and literally I don't know if any of you people out there listening really know how tough it is. I don't care if you've got gold as far as this whole gigantic maze of Hollywood and all that stuff getting done. It is just treacherous. I mean, you better be committed, which I am. So in answer, I got half of, in fact, what I'm calling it is Giant Rock 2. I mean, and it's actually continued. It actually takes a lot of the same characters, and we kind of grow them, and we move them forward, Chase and one of the main characters, you know, they literally, it becomes almost dystopian. Just to give you a little insight, as far as it's about dystopian world that essentially is being helped by these extraterrestrials and these other alien races that are going to come here and try to help us not kill ourselves. Which incidentally, there's a whole 5-hour show on that as far as extraterrestrials from the Pleiades and the Orion group that have come down here and actually stopped us from blowing each other up through nuclear weapons.
Yeah, with nuclear bombs. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know something, though, Chad, after the show, I'm going to give you a hookup to Lionsgate, one of the producers over there, and Tyler Perry. So maybe between the two of them, you can promote Giant Rock, and maybe they will pay you for your script, opposed to you having such hard times getting funded. But on that note, everyone, we need to take a small break. So anybody who need to go get some tea, some water, wet your whistle, or use the facilities, this is your time, because we're going to be back in 2 and 2. Stay with us.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there this week.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day.
No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
Jesus.
Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh,
honey,
my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Coffee has its sugar and cream. You're
welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and our phenomenal guest, Chad Meek. And I'm going to let Mark ask his question, and then I'm going to start my question and get to Chris.
Okay. Yeah, Chad, tell us more about this, the latest news that three more U.S. senators received a classified Pentagon briefing about a series of reported encounters by the Navy of unidentified aircraft.
Yeah, they've been briefed. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, it's becoming more mainstream. And actually, there's this, you know, and again, this gets a little dark, you know, as far as this. There is a whole group of there's a whole organization out there that literally is in control of this narrative of the whole, you know, the whole UFO, the whole extraterrestrial phenomenon. I mean, it's been going on for years and years and years. And of course, in part of my book, I address it about some of the stuff that went on about the almost persecution of my uncle, because he was one of the first to come out and talk about this stuff. And literally a lot of mysterious things have happened as far as with these you know, things. There's a lot of people in fact, I wrote on my Facebook page the other day, 'cause I get a little frustrated because a lot of and incidentally, I love talking to you folks. I would rather talk to you folks than all the UFO experts and all the other, you know, all that stuff out there, because it almost gets me nauseous, because it's always, you know, they act so giddy about when something comes out. Like there was a recent disclosure about an admiral who literally talks about the ship in Roswell, and it's all documented. It's in black and white. And then there, you know, so, but again, I mean, this is what my uncle was doing, and all these people were screaming at the you know, as loud as they can, telling people. And there's almost a conspiracy going on, because you got a lot of institutions and what have you that are fully vested on how things are. Okay, we get that, you know. And then we have a whole other group of people who are more notorious, who actually profit from this whole UFO. And we can get into, as far as most of our advancement, scientific advancement, including the transistor radio and fiber optics, actually came from ships and extraterrestrial information through exchanges. We are light years ahead of have been light years ahead of every other country and what have you. Well, there's a reason we've made special deals with them. But there's been this whole thing going on, keeping the information. Oh, and incidentally, I forgot the other part of these things, who are basically, you know, but it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong to withhold this information, because, I mean, naturally, it's our legacy. It's all our rights. We all pay taxes to pay all this money for this stuff, and we are being withheld. We're being treated like slaves, as far as when it comes to this information, because generally, if you talk about, you know, UFO propulsion, you're talking about free energy. I quote free energy. That means you don't go to the gasoline pump and stick gasoline in. That means that you are, you know, and it's not battery. There's so much of this stuff that's been, and my uncle was on the avant-garde of this. Yeah. So it's something we do. But yeah, what do I think about it? Well, you know, I'm a little bit suspicious, because more and more and more stuff, including a lot, I just watched the Nimitz on YouTube about these five sailors that were actually out in the, which not too far, incidentally, not too far from where I live now, down in Mexico, out there on maneuvers, and they had saw all these ships and what have you, and tracked them, and they have since, and then when after they saw it, they made them come, they came right after them and said, oh, sign the non-disclosure thing, and if you don't sign this, then what will happen is we'll throw you in jail. So, you know, even our free. And then you get into the Bob Lazar, you know, question, as far as some of the stuff that's going on with him at Area 51. It's amazing as far as this stuff has been allowed to go on. When I think in terms of Jesus and what have you, because Jesus came down here and he wanted to save us, you know, and save our souls, put us on the right path. I keep on, you know, part of my prayers is I'm looking for Jesus or somebody to come down and help us help ourselves, because environmentally, we're, you know, my gosh, things are happening here. It's 114 degrees in France. I mean, just think about all the floods down in Mississippi and, God, all the Midwest and all the misery that's happening right now. Well, you know, a lot of this stuff is man-made, and so we need, I mean, literally, you know, I'm in the same camp, you know, every Christian say, please, come.
But you know something, Chad, you know, if people just look at our history, like this pyramids, the Mayan culture, you know, there's no way those things, those rocks, Stonehenge, could have been with our limitations and tools to move those heavy objects. So it had to be someone else. And also like King Tut and his father and mother, you know, they hid. Their skull were cone-like. You know, that's not our shape of our head. That were the sky gods that they was worshiping. You know, that's why their heads are shaped like that. You know, and, you know, the proof is in front of our face. And I really don't understand why it's so important for us not to know, unless it has to do with money, control and stuff, because when these down crafts have been, you know, recovered, they try to make it sound like there's been a hot air balloon, you know, and they're using the technology to reverse what they have, go backwards to try to figure out the origin and everything else, because ain't nobody just woke up one day and all of a sudden they have these movies coming out like Star Wars and whatever, out that limited thinking. You know, it was already placed in them because something they witnessed, something that they know. But my question to you is, I know a lot of people want believers to be treated like we're knuckleheads and we don't know what we're talking about. And I don't know what the thing is in your environment where you live at. Do your wife have any backlash from people because her husband believes? And do they, like, look at y'all, like, in y'all community, like, yeah, there go those knuckleheads. They believe in spacemen and Martians. You know, do y'all go through that?
No. Actually, you know, in our little town down here, we're just, you know, we're south of the border. And one thing about the Mexican people, they just accept it. In fact, they're more and more accepting about the whole, you know, UFO extraterrestrial question than most people in the United States. However, you know, again, what happens is people get caught up in their own materialistic world, and they don't want to think about this because they feel threatened. I mean, you know, as far as that, and it all comes down to greed. And yes, they think that we are a bunch of, like, as you say, so eloquently, knuckleheads. You know, and it's like we know. I mean, we know that something's going on here, and it's like, okay, wait a minute. You know,
Yeah, exactly.
So, I agree. Yeah, I agree. No, it's funny. If you get into the Sumerian text, and you get back in the Anunnaki, and as far as the whole, you know, some of the and what in fact these people are, and you have to be careful because they were viewed as gods down here, but they were not God. They were demigods. Okay, they were actually self-proclaimed, and they were highly advanced entities, and so they appeared as gods to the people here.
Right.
But getting
getting
back to Sumerians. You know, I mean, the information that's come out, it's literally completely, and incidentally, if you get into Sumerian, no one should ever feel threatened. You know, if you get into the Old Testament, it's really the same, you know, major epic flood story that we have there. It's just different. Sumerian had this cuneiform, had this various interesting writer. So, like, people like Stichen and some of these other people, some of these other scholars, they've come up and they brought that story back. And they talk about all this stuff. So it's been our favorite. Incidentally, that was part of my uncle's thing too, is he had the whole Anunnaki story. This was back in the 50s before, you know, Stichen and some of the more popular writers and all this whole plethora of stuff that's come out about this stuff, supporting this pre-epic, you know, civilization lasting 13,000 years ago. But you know, now we go back and we go look at some of the science, and literally we know that civilizations have been here for millions and millions of years. But there's a lot of, you know, this whole Tower of Babel thing, you know, this matter of semantics and words and dates and all that stuff. But it's the same story. I mean, it really is. So it's kind of interesting as far as to get into that. But yeah, they do think we're and my hope is that again, awareness, and that's really part of my, you know, besides making the movie, besides the books, besides, you know, my job, and I feel like this has been my job, our calling, is to make people more aware, because as our consciousness increase, our lives are going to be better. There, you know, this all this greed and all this murdering and all this other stuff is that won't have any relevance for us. It's just that we just have not gotten there.
I agree to that. So
we're going
to
get there,
baby.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Chris, I give him an opportunity to ask his question.
Okay, my question, Chad, is, you know, UFOs, the whole topic is very confusing to me. So I guess my question is, what are your hobbies outside of talking about UFOs? What are things you like to do for fun?
I've been married a long, long time. I'll tell you, I've been married for 39 years, so that's been my most fun. and I have children, and I have grandchildren, so that keeps me up. But also, I also have two Great Danes, two of the biggest Great Danes you ever saw. They're monsters, and so they keep me going. But
wow.
You know what I do is, yeah. So, you know, I don't have a lot of extra time. My whole thing is I exercise, try to stay healthy, and try to stay, I have to take a lot of long walks, because some of this information I have to process it, daily. And literally, it's been really, I've had no choice about my life, and every time I've tried to hide from any of this stuff in. And listen, in my past, I've ran oil and gas companies, I've ran mining companies, I've had a real full life with this whole material thing out there, but every time, the irony is, I'm telling you, everywhere I would go, somebody would come back and remind me what my purpose was, and they would do it since. They'd say, gee, they'd tell me about, you know, there's a real interesting place called Giant Rock, and I'd sit there and go, oh, God. I remember I was in Serbia. I was with some scientists, because we did land satellite imagery, all kinds of stuff. I've done some weird, weird stuff. But I'm having conversations with them, and they were talking about Nikola Tesla, and they were, you know, of course, my uncle used a lot of his information, what have you, and then they asked me, what do you know about this? Well, my uncle, his name was George Van Tassel, and they go, and so everything stopped. They say, your uncle was George Van Tassel? It's like, okay, here we go again. another great
That's all that
yeah, right.
is. But, you know, this happened in 2013, and this is real talk. Me and my two grandsons, we were in the back part of the land of my home where I used to live at, and it was a beautiful night, stars clear, you know. And I had just bought from Home Depot one of these flashlights that could see so, so far, you know. And anyway, I had that flashlight, so I was just zipping like in a circle, making lines in the sky. Now, we all sitting out there just chilling, and all of a sudden, everywhere I zip up and down, left and right, you know, in circles with my flashlight, this light in the sky followed that pattern. I said, let's get the hell in the house. I said, because don't no plane fly like that. You know, scared the shit out of me and my grandson. They said, oh, my God, you know. And that had to be some UFO stuff, because planes are not made to go like that, you know, zigzag up and down rapidly, like the way I was just randomly taking a light from my flashlight. It scared me and it scared them. So I know what I saw. They know what they saw. And we got up in that house so quick, man, scared the living bejeezy out of me. So I said, ooh, Lord, what's really going on?
Now, fine. you know, that, yeah. that, that you know, They're looking. Well, first of all, they're out there. Now, you know, since I've been down here I've been down here in Baja for the last 7 years, and I've had 12 different encounters. One day sighting, the rest other night one. I just had one last week, and I have this beautiful big deck and what have you, and saw you know, an unusual light out there and extraordinarily bright. And I thought, oh gosh, you know, and I saw it zip over across. Here it is, and then when I go look at it, then all of a sudden, poof, it disappeared. And I've had that happen to a lot because there's some sort of intuition. Like if they want you to see them, they will let you see them. And if they do not, then they, you know, they're gone. And I've had that. Now, one of the things too, when you actually ask my wife, I could stand next to my wife and I could say, oh, you see that? You see that spaceship? Here's an example. I was in the backyard, and I saw this thing zipping across the sky. It wasn't a satellite. It wasn't a plane. I mean, it was something, you know, a UFO. And I go, can't you see that? Can't you? And she said, I can't, honey. I can't. I'm getting frustrated. I said, you mean you can't? It's right there. You can see it. And she couldn't see it. And sometimes people's eyes, because they just can't see these things. Now, here's the other good part about it was, on the other side of my house, which is towards the Pacific Ocean, this happened about a year after that. We were out there on the front porch, and there were these two lights that were coming up, you know, coming right directly towards us at pretty, and then they stopped right like it stopped.
Oh.
And I go, do you see those? She goes, yes, I do. I go, hallelujah. Yes, I do. Yeah. Anyway, so that's I get, and it's funny. These things here, I think they're kind of, at least with me, and you know, when I'm in the, you know, I mean, literally, I mean, you know, I'm just a kind of a, you know, one man guy as far as out here myself shouting through the, you know, through the desert. I feel like, you know, something.
Right.
Wait.
Right.
Yeah. You know, as far as, so I think sometimes I get a little support from them out there in a strange way. Anyway, so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let Mark ask his question, and what we're gonna do tonight after Mark asks his question, we're gonna pretty much wrap this up. But Chad, we're gonna have to get you to do a part two.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, so I definitely. Going to get you to do a part two, because there's no way that I can just get everything, and I don't want the people to lose the interest by hanging on. I want them to have enough to say, yeah, I want to hear some more of this, and bring you back with the part two. So,
oh, absolutely.
Mark, go ahead and ask your question, darling.
No, I'm looking at the Giant Rock, the movie trailer, and it's very, very interesting. I hope you get it made. I really, really do. Because you've got such a story to tell.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much. It's so kind of you to mention that. Yeah, no, we've done a lot of we've done a lot of work on this thing here. What we're looking for is this, Mark. You know, in the whole spirit of this whole thing is this thing's got to be. You obviously know this too already. It has to be right. This thing has to be done right. You can't do this with an under budget. I've passed on small budgets. I passed on people that just weren't right. I mean, and let me tell you something. You know, when you're, you know, as far as when you're in my position, you really have to, you know, take a deep breath and say, hey, you know, I had a group of Chinese people says, yeah, listen, I want to pay you some money, but I don't want you involved in making the movie. And I'm thinking, oh God, I mean, I just like I don't think I want to have this in some other people's hands where they'll just perhaps So I just said, hey, wait a minute. I put my faith in the universe and the everything, and say, hey, listen, you know, I know when the right people and the right money and resources, this is going to be made. It's going to be done right, and people are going to be really happy. And I know this with all my heart that this thing is going to be so good. I believe that this is a billion-dollar franchise. This thing can go into, you know, a movie, a sequel. I mean, you know, we could probably do three or four
toys, different novelties. Yeah, this is the right time for it.
You know it. You know it.
Yep.
So anyway, so right. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words. Yeah.
Well, you know, and on that note, my dear friend, Chad, it's always a pleasure talking with you. I will get with you
dear.
To see your schedule to get you down for a part two. And how would you like the last Friday in July?
It'd be perfect. Hey, you know what? You just tell me. I'll be on your show, and if it's at 3 o'clock in the morning, you just let me know. I'll show up. Okay, Carol.
Oh,
I love
you're
you so,
so
much.
Sweet. That's why I love you. Tell Carol, don't be jealous. I'm just saying. Well, we want to wish you a pleasant day. Enjoy your weekend. And on that note, Chris and Mark, let's bid our phenomenal guest Chad good night until the next time
thank
when
you
he appears.
Thank you, Chad. We'll see you next time.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take care, darling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
And that's a wrap of Authorist Terry Lyles Unmasked on this Friday.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.